Good morning. It is time to get up with KD ASAP. An all-time night from an all-time great doesn't rewrite his postseason legacy. Plus, Aaron Rodgers sends a message as only he can. Oh, it's taking another turn in Green Bay. You'll hear it and you'll see it. And then, is this competition over before it's even begun? Can anyone make sense of what they said in Chicago? We'll find out as we get up with you, starting right now. Delighted you're here on a Wednesday. Greeny, Graziano in our studios in the Seaport. Plenty of football conversation coming your way, including Jeff Saturday ready to go today, Mike Tannenbaum ready to go today, Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky will join us. But there's only one place to begin on this morning. Oh, a spectacular night from Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets Game 5 against Milwaukee. The story early, James Harden gutting it out, making the return from the hamstring. He would play most of the night. He would struggle, particularly first half. 0-for-6 from the floor with 2 turnovers. But his presence seemed to lift his team. He was out there doing what he could. But the Nets would struggle mightily in the first half. Down 16 into the third we go. And Kevin Durant would say, "This is about to become my night. Here we come." Durant in the lane, lays it up and good, and he's just getting started. Ensuing possession, Durant in transition. This was his running mate last night, Jeff Green, 7 of 8 from 3, 27 points. Nets creeping back into it. They're down 9. Final minute of the third, Durant up and good. It's a 6-point game into the fourth quarter. Under 9 to play now. Nets within 2. Durant using the screen. Oh my goodness, they're in front. Nets their first lead since it was 2-0. Just over 5 minutes now. What a game. Nets lead by 1. Durant, mid-range, over Middleton. Yes, Nets by 3. A buck 20 to go. Bucks down by 2. Giannis goes to the line. Again, down by 2. The crowd smelling blood. First one, no good. He'd make the second. It's a 1-point game. Under a minute to go. Still 1 point. Shot clock winding down. Here's the biggest moment of the night. They've got him trapped. 2 seconds on the clock. 1 second. Oh, what a knockdown. Kevin Durant could not be stopped. Nets up by 4. 30 seconds to go. Nets lead is 2. What are they going to do? Giannis, Middleton, Giannis. They lose it. Durant hangs on. Kevin Durant, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. Played all 48 minutes. The Nets win. Oh, what a night.
I didn't even think about nothing but just each possession. You know, I was just trying to win each possession, and I didn't think about how many points I had or shot attempts. I did play every minute, so, you know, that helped with my point total.
For him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin. And it was beautiful to watch.
It really may have been the best game he's ever played. Durant scoring or assisting on 74 points last night, the most in any game in his career, regular season or postseason. And in the box score, he becomes the first player in NBA playoff history to have a triple-double with at least 45 points, 15 rebounds, and the 10 assists. And here we are with Jay Will, the Jay from KJZ ESPN Radio every morning. Okay, what are the right things to say about that virtuoso performance from Kevin Durant last night?
He's a singularity. That's the best single performance in a game I've seen in Kevin Durant's career. I mean, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. He can get to anywhere he wants to go on the court. And here's what I said at the beginning of the year, Greeny, about Kevin Durant. When you witness him playing, Stephen Curry is probably one of the best tickets in basketball. But the Barclays Center for KD is a polished version of Rucker Park. It feels like you're watching street ball, but the most beautiful aspect of it, because the way he looks at all these individual matchups, if that's PJ Tucker, if that's Chris Middleton, if that's not Giannis guarding him the entire fourth quarter, This is who Kevin Durant is. He was the best player in the world in 2019. He still is the best player in the world, proving that each and every possession last night in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that feels like to me like there was something legacy reshaping about this performance last night, because so much of KD's legacy, and he is and has been a great player, but has been about some of the questions that have come along with the greatness. Last night, he left no questions. I feel like last night's game, particularly if they go deep into these playoffs and maybe go all the way to the championship, I feel like last night's game could be a legacy reshaping performance.
He had 49 points on 23 shots.
Yeah.
Like, I would be curious where this ranks if this is a top 5 NBA playoff performance because of the efficiency. And by the way, all the pressure was on this guy coming into the game. You know, James Harden out there with one leg pretty much playing like me. Jeff Green obviously played extremely well. Blake Griffin gave you some points in the third quarter. But you knew when it came down the stretch, the ball was going to be in the hands of the Slim Reaper.
All right, before we get to other matters, you said you had three other things you saw last night.
Three things that I can't believe I saw. Number one, Coach Bud, what the hell are we doing? We're not running any double teams at Kevin Durant. We're not giving him different looks defensively. The fact that he's still playing 1-on-1 in the fourth quarter blows my mind. Number two, Giannis, your reigning defensive player of the year. PJ Tucker, you have been great all series long. You've carried the load. Get the hell out of the way. It's my time to guard the best player in the world right now when I need to. And the last thing, James Harden is out there playing on one leg. I give him so much credit in the world, Greeny. 46 minutes. But why didn't the Milwaukee Bucks attack him? Defensively, he could barely move. We knew he could barely move from the first possession of the game. That was something that was a complete miss on their part. He should have been attacked every possession, a huge miss by the Bucks.
Now, those are all outstanding insights and an incredibly dramatic night. And so I'll finish it with this. Are the Nets now going to win this series?
I'm still going to pick Milwaukee to win this series. I still am. I mean, James Harden, they're going to go back and get one in Milwaukee. Now, whether they can close it out, I guess I'm going to take the Bucks, but I honestly don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to go against Kevin Durant. Could he put another performance like this together in a game seven? Yes, he could. I mean, obviously, he proved that he could do it there.
All right, what a performance. And again, KJZ, every weekday morning on ESPN Radio, we are just getting rolling. Thank you, Jay.
Man, one man can't beat five. Guess we were wrong.
In that case, we were. So we have that to begin. And then we have this, Aaron Rodgers, the biggest story of the NFL offseason, taking another turn yesterday. Now, you're aware of the details. Over the weekend, Packers president Mark Murphy making some eyebrow-raising comments at an event at Lambeau Field, in which he said, and with a big money quote of it all as he led up to it was, with Aaron Rodgers, he is a, quote, complicated fella. Those are the words that jumped out. So yesterday, on a golf Zoom, Aaron Rodgers sort of responded.
Yeah, it's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this off season has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player.
I mean, the passive aggressiveness is just delightful, and you couldn't quite see it in that shot, but the t-shirt he's wearing said, "I'm offended." Jeff Saturday, your reaction.
That's the guy I know from Green Bay. Man, passive aggressive at its best, right? I'm offended, taking little jabs. It's been such a relaxing offseason, Greeny. I've been to Hawaii with my fiance. I've hung out with my boys. I've done a little football when I felt like it. I don't do it when I don't feel like it. This is what it's all about. This is the life that I'm living right now. It's my best life. So I love the comedy of this whole situation. Everybody says, don't talk about it in the public. Oh, he's a complicated fella. Here's my response. It just goes back and forth. You can just see this thing continue to build instead of getting dissolved. It is a just travesty to watch this thing play out if you're a Green Bay Packer fan. I can assure you of that.
I agree with you, and I'll come back to you on that thought. But Mike T, I'm wondering, as you're watching that, what thoughts are going through your mind?
Yeah, he's easily aggrieved, and I agree with Jeff. You know, there's a lot of rhetoric going on, and we're in a situation now where there's, let's face it, increased sensitivity on both sides. Unfortunately, I've been there where everything is heightened. But come on, you're the league MVP, and what Mark Murphy said was inappropriate and certainly wasn't productive. But let's compare that with what happened with Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford goes in, sees the Lions ownership. They were able to get something done quickly and quietly. And if I'm Aaron Rodgers, just take the high road. You're an all-time great. You're the league MVP. You've been to back-to-back Final Fours. You're not offended. You're just trying to work out a business transaction.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I don't know that he doesn't think he's taking the high road. It's a complicated matter. And, you know, Graziano, one of the things that complicates it, as Mike T is talking about, every other NFL team has an owner, has someone that you could go into, a boss who you could go into and say, look, I've got this issue here, let's work it out. Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, we all know who they are. In Green Bay, they don't have that, so there's no one, if you will, to sort of be the referee in this dispute.
Right, and Mark Murphy fills that role in Green Bay, right? But
he's the one saying Aaron's a complicated fellow.
He's the one saying, look, this is, it's the high road is empty, but there's nobody, there's no cars on the high road.
That's
honestly,
right.
The reason this is so great, like for us, is like if the script writers for Real Housewives of Green Bay couldn't have written this, because I mean, every single turn of it, you know, Aaron Rodgers is keenly aware of how he is perceived in public. You know that when he put that T-shirt on yesterday, it was intentional. Look, I mean, I'm coming in here. I know. I think about what shirt I'm going to wear. Right. He knows he's going to be on camera. He knows how people are going to react. And that's what's going on right now. It's a back and forth. Neither side feels like it's actively working toward a solution. I know the Packers have said that they are, and they've flown out there to talk to him and all that. But right now, it doesn't seem like one is anywhere close.
So, Jeff, and we talk about the drama. It sort of is. I mean, Real Housewives of Green Bay is a pretty good way of painting the soap opera this is. So what do you see happening here, Jeff? I mean, how is this thing going to play out?
I think ultimately it's going to get to the season, and Aaron, as the competitor, wants to play. I think he's going to play. And I don't think he's going to come through training camp. I think all that will wait. But I think ultimately when it gets down to it, he wants to prove to everybody again, I'm the MVP. I'm going to be the MVP again this year. You know, Jordan Love's going to steal the bench. I'm going to throw their plans in the trash can once again. It will build his brand, his persona even more. And I think he loves that. I think ultimately that's what he's waiting on. Come in, be the white knight, be the hero, go lead the Packers to a Super Bowl, hopefully, and then ultimately just, you know, tell the Packers, look, here's what your thoughts and plans were. I'm crushing your dreams and embarrassing you in public.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Dan Graziano said right now that the high road is open. There's going to be a massive traffic jam sometime around Labor Day when there's going to be some inflection point and the worm's going to turn when, if Green Bay says, hey, we're not trading you, that if you want to play football this year, you're going to play as a Packer, or as Carson Palmer did, you know, a couple decades ago, you're going to sit out the year. Because, again, if you're Green Bay, this is important. Your draft choice compensation is in next year's draft. So if I'm running the Packers, my deadline is really April of 2022, and I'm going to do everything within reason to convince them to play. So we can put on T-shirts, we could go to Hawaii, but around Labor Day, the competitor in view, as Jeff alluded to, if you want to play ball, it's as a Packer.
That's a really good point. Dan, put a ribbon on this for us here. The next inflection point really is training camp.
It is. And remember, during the CBA negotiations last year, Aaron Rodgers kind of took over one of the meetings, and one of his arguments was he wanted the CBA to make sure the offseason program didn't start till August 1st. So this is a guy who never wanted to go to offseason minicamp in the first place.
That's right.
If we get to training camp, obviously, yes, we could be in a situation where this turns, and he could show up as angry as he may be.
Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers is where we begin today. Lots of superstars in the news, and we're just getting started. Coming up, we will go back to that performance of the night. Has KD solidified his status? Can he carry the Nets all the way to a championship? We're talking about it. Plus, a lot of attention on Tua throwing 5 picks yesterday. Is it part of the development, or is there reason for concern? We have answers to all your questions as we get up with you. Today, we're on ESPN2.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and it was indeed a performance for the ages last night for Kevin Durant. 49 points. The Nets, an epic comeback. Brooklyn taking a Game 5 win over Milwaukee last night. And after it was over, Giannis Antetokounmpo recognizing just how good KD was and is.
One of the best scorers to ever play the game. It's tough. You know, like, he's the best. He's the best player in the world right now. And we gotta beat him as a team.
So that is remarkable praise from the opponent. Meanwhile, many people watching last night were abuzz. LeBron James tweeting, greatness, appreciate it while you can, people. Hashtag KD. The Hall of Famer Allen Iverson tweeting, "You great killer." There was all that reaction and more. We will have much more on this performance coming up in just a few minutes. In the meantime, back to our football crew. We'll play a game called Sophomore Slump or Bump, talking quarterbacks. Jeff Saturday, let's talk Jeff Burrow. Sophomore, slump or bump?
I'm going bump. Listen, I know he's coming off an ACL, but I actually think that will help his timing. I think it will encourage him for pre-snap reads. You know, last year when everything kind of broke down, he went right back to his athleticism and made plays with his legs. I think this year he'll be more focused on staying in the pocket, protecting himself. So I actually think his numbers will go up. I'm excited to watch him. I think he started great last year, and I think he'll continue to improve this year.
I like it. Mike Tannenbaum, let's talk about Justin Herbert. Slump or bump?
Bump, 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 and a bigger bump. He played in 15 games last year, but in the rarest of situations, he got thrown in. Remember, Tyrod Taylor had a weird medical situation. He has a whole offseason. I love what they've done with the offensive line. He's going to be well protected. I work with his quarterback coach, Shane Day. They'll emphasize fundamentals. He is a high-talented, high-character player. He has massive upside.
I'm with you. I already predicted him to be the MVP. Graziano. Let's talk about Tua. Slump or bump?
I say bump for Tua. I'll keep it positive. I think he has to bump because last year was a learning year for him. Had some struggles and had to go in and out of the lineup with Ryan Fitzpatrick there. I think a full off season for Tua. We got the wrong Alabama guy.
That's my fault. Yeah. That's my fault. I missed one. I was supposed to go to Jeff Saturday on Jalen Hurts. Score that E1 if you were keeping score at home. My apologies. I will say we wanted to get to Tua anyway. So one way or another, we were going to go bump on Jalen Hurts, and we will go bump on Tua. Although the big story coming out of yesterday, and you might have seen this on social media if you were following in the middle of the day, is that Tua threw 5 interceptions during practice yesterday, during a mini camp workout. And Jeff Saturday, I know that combined with a story that we had on him recently had you at least a little bit concerned.
Yeah, medium level concern here, Green. I mean, when you think about, it's not just the 5 interceptions yesterday, right? I mean, we publish what everybody's doing in OTAs and accuracy, and you know, we make all these comments. Every coach thinks every quarterback's great in June. But when you look at the comments he had last year, Greeny, about, "I really wasn't that prepared. I didn't know the offense. I didn't have full command. I just kind of rode with whatever play was in there." Those are the things that bring concern, because now you question in your head, if you're in the locker room, well, is this because of lack of preparation, or is this because we're asking him to throw balls into windows that we would not do in the season? So I think it's mixed for me. I usually don't get too concerned over guys in OTAs and minicamps, but this, because of the conversations he's had prior in the offseason, gave me a little bit of concern and hesitation.
Mike T, how do you see it?
Well, I think context is everything. We don't know what was asked at practice yesterday in terms of those 5 interceptions. Is he working on the deep ball? So, look, it was really bad weather down here yesterday. So I am not panicking. I am concerned because when he came out, he is short, he is slow, and he's coming off a major hip surgery. Now, he could have a really good representative career, Greeny, but he's going to have to be accurate. He's going to have great anticipation. So this is a really big offseason. I wouldn't put too much into one day in June, but I would be concerned. And look, they signed Jacoby Brissett, and we saw last year Brian Flores was not scared to make a change if necessary. So we'll monitor the situation very closely.
I mean, that's reasonable. And, Dan, it sort of does tiptoe up to my next question, which is, how firm do we think the commitment in Miami is to Tua long term? I know they just drafted him 5. There was all this Deshaun Watson conversation once upon a time. How firmly entrenched do we feel he is in that spot?
I think pretty firmly, but you mentioned Deshaun Watson. They were a factor in those discussions earlier this offseason. I think they probably would be again if those discussions were to come up again. That would be a significant sort of major established upgrade. I don't think they're looking to upgrade over Tua Tagovailoa. I think it's more about being open to that kind of possibility of a major one. Right now, I think they're working with him. I do think, to Mike Tannenbaum's point, he probably is working on the deep ball. His longest pass last year gained 35 yards, so he has to work on the deep ball. It reminded me a little bit of a veteran pitcher in spring training in my baseball days who got lit up in spring training.
Right.
Oh, I'm working on a new pitch. I don't know if I'll ever throw it, but this is the time to figure it out.
Well, so, Jeff, I see it both ways, because on one level, yes, it's unfair to judge him off of last year. He was coming off the major injury. He was a rookie, no preseason, all that stuff. But the other side of it is, this is a really good football team that has expectations of winning right
Absolutely.
Now, and the quarterback had better be ready to do it, or they're going to have to find someone who is.
Exactly right. I was about to say that. Like, from Brian Flores, it's kind of the enemy of your success, right, is that you put your team in the conversation now to push for the AFC East. Your quarterback can't be the guy that's holding you back. And I will say this. I don't care what coach put anything in, you do not throw five interceptions. I went back, and I know Jacoby Brissett threw two interceptions, so they had seven picks in one practice. I'm praying that's all because of rain, because I don't care what offense you're installing, you don't want turns. I don't care if you're practicing the deep ball, where you're going to put it, you don't throw it. Don't even begin that habit of giving the ball to the other squad. We don't do that. And in any offense I've ever been in, whether it was in Indy or Green Bay, those were the death nails. You do not play around with turning the ball over. That would be a concern, again, because of the conversations earlier in the offseason about not knowing the playbook.
Mike T, to put a ribbon on it, if you're in charge of the organization, how do you view it?
Yeah, again, I'm concerned, and then we're going to get to training camp. And again, I think Coach Flores deserves credit. Kyle Van Noy had a good year. Someone he brought from New England, they moved on. So I don't think he's reticent to move on from Tua in terms of benching him if he doesn't play well. So they'll monitor it. I'm sure they're concerned, but they're not overreacting. It's interesting that Jeff Saturday, as a former offensive lineman who does nothing when the pads aren't on in June, can critique another player when they're just over there, you know, stretching.
Fair enough. We're taking shots that this morning. For no, that was just out of shots nowhere, but I liked it. All right, okay. As we continue,
game
the Bucks had the lead.
You, Mike,
and then Kevin Durant happened. Can KD now carry the Nets into the conference finals? We have the very latest from Brooklyn. Next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and oh, what a performance from Kevin Durant last night with the Nets down 17 at one point. They needed him so badly, and he came up so big. Durant in the fourth quarter, they had cut it to two. That three gave them a one-point lead, their first lead since the opening seconds. Then with 5 minutes to go, the Nets down by one. That's Durant knocking another shot down, then a buck 20 to go. Giannis at the free throw line, down by two. Crowd smelling blood. He misses the first. He made the second. It's a one-point game. And then Durant on a night where he scored 49. This was his biggest shot of the night. Shot clock winding down again. Final minute in a one-point game. Look at that one. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. Played all 48 minutes. This was the Bucks' final possession, final seconds. Down by two. They turn it over. What a performance. Kevin Durant, James Harden gutting it out last night. And the Nets finding a way, 114-108. They get the win in a 3-2 lead, and Magic Johnson, who would know a thing or two about it, tweeted, Kevin Durant gave us a Mount Rushmore performance tonight. And let's dive into this now with Malika Andrews, who covers for us and was there last night, and my uncle Seth Greenberg, no relation. Malika, let me start with you. How would you describe the scene in the building last night as Kevin Durant put on a second half for the ages?
It was electric, Greeny. I mean, literally as we were going to air just now, I got a text from a coach who used to work with Kevin Durant, and it just said, this Brooklyn series is crazy. Kevin Durant was amazing. And the praise for him has been so far-reaching. It's come from all over the NBA, including from his opponent, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who said he is the best player in the world right now. And Jeff Green, who also had an incredible career-high performance and added for Brooklyn last night, said, look, we are witnessing once again who the best player in the world is. James Harden, who made his comeback last night, said that Kevin Durant was completely unfazed all game long. But Kevin Durant afterward, he wasn't looking to have celebrations or champagne showers or any of that stuff. He said, look, I understand. I know game six very well may be the toughest game we play. The Nets are headed to Milwaukee today, and Kevin Durant was already talking about the fact that he needs to start zeroing in on that game because they still have work to do, Greeny.
It's great insight. He's got to put that one behind us, but we don't. Not yet. Seth, I'm coming to you. So you're through a coach's eyes. I mean, how would you describe Kevin Durant last night?
Efficient. He was incredibly efficient. He let everything come to him. He never chased anything. He had a quiet 49. And what I mean by quiet 49 is, you know, they hung around. You knew in the fourth quarter he was going to take over. But he didn't take a bad shot. He made the game easier for other people. You were a double team at him. He found Jeff Green to knock down wide open jump shots. He made the right play every single time down the floor. And then at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, they put him in that flat ball screen and he absolutely tortured the Bucks. Get into a little middle game, they are drop coverage, he knocked down shot after shot. Efficient, that's how I describe him. He had an efficient 49, a dominant 49, and when the game was on the line, 73% of the points he either scored or assisted on in the fourth quarter, I'd say that's pretty remarkable.
It was. It is a performance for the ages. Now, and you heard Giannis say so, but Seth, let me ask you, Jay Will and basically all of Twitter was questioning Giannis not guarding KD in the fourth quarter last night. He's obviously a brilliant defensive player and didn't take on that challenge. How did you see that situation and maybe some other question marks that came out of last night?
Yeah, I think that at the end of the game, Giannis has to be on him. I mean, I understand PJ Tucker's done a great job. He's been physical. He's been tough. Middle did the same thing. But you know what? At the end of the game, one of the best defensive players and player in the country, in the NBA, you've got to go good on good. You've got to use his length and his athleticism to contest those shots. And they were contested shots he made. And then offensively, I thought the Bucks, they got stagnant. Think about it. In this series right now, they're throwing 45 fewer passes per game in this series than they did in the previous series. Why? The ball gets stuck in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, Giannis, you can't settle for fadeaway step-back jumper. All right? You can't settle for a three-point shot. Giannis, you've got to attack. You get James Harden on you, put him in the cup, take it to the rim, draw an N1. That shot is unacceptable. A three-point shot is unacceptable. He's got to attack, play downhill, and be the aggressor.
There was a lot of that last night. So, Malika, then let me come back to you. Now we can spin it forward because the Nets still need another win to close this series out. Where do we stand now with Harden coming off of playing last night, Kyrie Irving, and all the rest of it?
Oh, yeah. Well, there is a whole lot of all the rest of it, right, Greeny? So James Harden said yesterday that his plan is to get prepared to play in game six. That's what he wants to do. But you mentioned he played 46 minutes in game five. So certainly there's going to be a lot that needs to be assessed between game five and game six, just in terms of how he is feeling, how fatigued he is. We saw a lot of kinesiology tape around that right hamstring that he's been dealing with. But if it's left up to him, just as it was yesterday, he is going to play. Now, Kyrie Irving, as Adrian Wojnarowski reported, the Nets are gearing up for the distinct possibility that they may not have him for the rest of this series with that ankle sprain. That's been something that he's been dealing with, still a little bit sore, but we'll see a little bit more in the next couple of days.
All right, yeah, the schedule shapes up now. They go to Milwaukee. They play that game six tomorrow night. If necessary, game seven is in Brooklyn on Saturday, so there is not a lot of turnaround time here at all. Seth, Malika, outstanding. Thank you so much. What a night it was in the NBA. Meanwhile, to the night in baseball, some interesting storylines as we run the bases. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit his National League-leading 20th home run of the year in an 8-4 loss to the Rockies. And then, not to be outdone, Shohei Ohtani hit his 18th home run of the season in the Angels' 6-4 loss to Oakland. So the big bats were out last night. But the big story, of course, Major League Baseball releasing a memo detailing its crackdown on foreign substances effective June 21st. The league will levy 10-game suspensions with pay for pitchers who were caught using them. And that brings us to this. Tampa Bay Rays ace Tyler Glasnow has suffered a partially torn UCL and a flexor tendon strain, in his pitching arm. When asked yesterday, he made it clear baseball's crackdown is part of the reason why.
I've used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that, like, it seems like this whole public perception of, like, oh, just like select few people. Like your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. But I just threw 80-something, 70-whatever innings, and then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season. I truly believe that's why I got hurt. And so I'm just frustrated that, like, they don't understand. But to tell us to do something completely different in the middle of a season is insane.
This is Jeff Passan, who has the stories about all of this. And you told me on the radio yesterday, Jeff, that this was going to be the reaction. This was the concern, that we would have pitchers becoming injured as a result of it, and that there was a lot of frustration. What more did you hear about what he said and others?
Greeny, it's not just Tyler Glasnow. There are pitchers all around baseball who are having to make this adjustment on the fly. And there's a lot of discomfort and, frankly, fear right now that what happened to Tyler Glasnow is going to happen to them as well. Now, we have to understand, Tyler Glasnow throws 100 miles per hour, and the correlation between velocity and elbow injuries is very significant. So there's a chance that Tyler Glasnow would have blown his elbow out, regardless of whether he was trying to wean himself off of sticky stuff or not. But there are a number of other pitchers I've talked with already who use sunscreen and rosin, who don't think it's all that big of a deal and have teammates backing them up on that, who say it's almost like they're having to relearn how to pitch because it's such a difference in that they almost have to squeeze the ball and jam it into their hands, which they fear is going to eventually wind up causing injuries like Tyler Glasnow believes it did with him.
And so, Tyler Glasnow, I just want to make sure we're clear on this. He's not the only player critical of the decision to make this change and enforce it in the middle of the season.
Yeah, you know, Greeny, those are the two things right now that are really aggrieving players. It's the fact that it's being done mid-season, and it's the fact that there's no differentiation in the rules between something like spider tack, you know, an industrial adhesive that's used to lift up 300-pound stones by strongmen, and something like rosin and sunscreen mixed together, which simply is not as tacky as a substance like spider tack or pelican grip. And Major League Baseball is going with the let's rip the Band-Aid off here. We have cheating in this game, and rather than turn a blind eye to it like we have for so many years, we're just going to enforce this in the middle of the season. And what bothers players more than anything is they didn't think that this was going to be happening in the middle of this year, so they didn't give themselves time to get off of it. But if you look back at the memo, Greeny, that was issued on March 23rd, it said, while we're collecting things this year, samples, looking at spin rates and other things, we still can, as Major League Baseball, penalize players who are caught with things. So they can't sit here and plead complete ignorance.
All right, Jeff Passan again. An extremely detailed story right now on ESPN.com with everything you need to know about this. If you are interested, I recommend it. Jeff, thank you very much. And if you're looking for baseball tonight, ESPN's the place to find it. We got the Red Sox in Atlanta taking on Ronald Acuna and the Braves in the second game of a two-game set. Coverage starts 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up here, the Bears moved up to get their quarterback. So why are they sticking with the starter they already had? We'll answer that question and more next. We're getting up on ESPN2. Me versus you.
It's me versus you. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up, next stop Chicago, where the center of the conversation is the quarterbacks. The Bears making Justin Fields the 11th overall pick in the draft, joining a quarterback room that already includes Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. Head coach Matt Nagy had this to say yesterday.
But what we told Andy is that he's our starter, and he knows that. And that's what Justin knows. That's what Nick knows. They know their roles.
Okay. Where you said that Andy Dalton is the starter. So we wanted clarification whether or not that means that Justin Fields cannot win the job.
Whether it's clarification that he can't win it, yes, correct. Andy Dalton is our starter.
So that's what the coach said. Jeff Saturday, what do you say?
No reason to say it, Greeny. It's ridiculous, right? Like, don't go to your locker room and say, hey, you know, we've already made the decision in June of what we are. We're in a competition. Everybody on the football team should be competing right now at who's going to be the starter at their position. And are some going to be easier jobs to win than others? But when you draft Justin Fields and you have expectations of what this young man can do for your offense and for your football team, you don't say these things. You just let him go. You say, hey, we're in a QB competition right now. Andy's still our starter until and unseats him. Everybody in the locker room loves that. They do not like it when the coach says, oh, because we made some decision back in March, this is how we're going. No one wants to do that. Think about Russell Wilson and Matt Flynn years ago, right? Russell, because we just paid Matt Flynn all this money, we're going to let him be the guy? No. It's because Russell Wilson won the job. Give Justin Fields full opportunity and don't make comments like this that set you back in the locker room.
Mike T, what do you think?
Yeah, I was shocked as well. Look, I was around Coach Belichick a number of times. He always said, the best players play. We go by what we see. Let's go back to 2000. Tom Brady is a nondescript sixth-round pick. Coach Belichick keeps four quarterbacks on the active roster because Tom Brady earned it. And your audience, as Jeff well knows, is the locker room. They want to know that the best players will play. Justin Fields has so much more talent than Andy Dalton. Let it just play out on the field. That was an unnecessary comment that's going to hurt his credibility in the locker room.
Seems like an unusual thing to say in June. Dan Graziano, what is the thinking there?
You know, the one thing I thought was, I think back to Cleveland the first year Baker Mayfield, they had Tyrod Taylor, and they spent the whole offseason saying Tyrod Taylor's the starter over and over and over again, and he was. But when Baker had to go in week three, I talked to people there, and they thought that the lack of pressure in the offseason, not having to be the starter, was a help to Baker Mayfield in terms of his ability to get ready. So maybe that's part of Matt Nagy's thinking. But what he's trying to do is what they did in Kansas City when he was there, Patrick Mahomes' rookie year. They played Alex Smith all year, and Mahomes stayed on the bench until a meaningless Week 17 game. You can only do that if you win. That year's Chiefs started out 5-0
right,
and stayed in first place the whole time. So unless the Bears are going to do that, it's going to be really hard for them to keep Justin Fields on the bench.
Well, Jeff, look, in a world in which Aaron Rodgers is not on the Green Bay Packers, which feels like a very real possibility, the Bears go into this season thinking they're among the division favorites, probably the division favorite. How, if at all, does that enter into the decision-making as far as you're concerned, Jeff?
Yeah, it's job protection, right, for Nagy and for general manager Ryan Pace. They both want to keep their jobs, but I still think Justin Fields gives them the best opportunity to win. It makes their offense much more explosive, especially if they bring the zone read option in with him and what he can do with his legs moving out of the pocket. We know what Andy Dalton is. Listen, I'm not taking away from Andy Dalton's career. He's had a great career, all those things. But when you're talking about what takes your offense to the next level and can really complement that great defense they have in Chicago, I think Justin Fields would be the fit. So as soon as he's ready, Greeny, he's got to be your guy. You basically hitched your wagon to him. Let's go ahead and ride out with it.
All right, it's a curious little turn of events there in Chicago. We'll keep a close eye on the direction that it takes from there. Meanwhile, we go back to college football for the moment because they are back on top of the college football world. Alabama heading into this season trying to repeat as national champ and keep that trophy away from Clemson, Ohio State, and the other usual suspects. But could some new blood crash the party? Heather Dinich has that answer.
Year after year.
In a season of chaos, constant excellence, Bama bludgeons the Buckeyes.
The same four teams, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, have accounted for 20 of the past 28 semifinal appearances in the college football playoff. That doesn't mean this fall can't be different. Any Power 5 team talented enough to win its conference and finish undefeated or with one loss has a legitimate shot at finishing in the top four. Iowa State, North Carolina, Indiana have an outside chance at sneaking in. But they all have at least one Herculean task to accomplish along the way. For Iowa State, the problem is beating Oklahoma twice. For Indiana, it's beating Ohio State. Just once would do. And North Carolina has to find its way to the ACC championship game, where anything is possible with a win over Clemson. Here's why they can do it. Iowa State should be in the top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency, a trait of past playoff contenders. Indiana returns 19 starters who almost beat the Buckeyes last fall. UNC returns a Heisman hopeful quarterback in Sam Howell, along with every starter on the offensive line and 10 starters on defense.
Really good. We look forward to our Wednesdays with Heather and Paul. And so here's the thing. As we always say, you know, with all-star selections and stuff, if you're going to put someone new in, you got to take somebody out. Paul, which of the traditional powers, the usual suspects, do you think is the likeliest to fall out this year?
I would take Clemson out for this reason, Greeny. They meet the team that I think can get in the first game of the season. You have Georgia and Clemson in Charlotte. And if Georgia wins this game, and right now I think they're going to, they vault to number one in the country perhaps. And yes, they still have to deal with Alabama later in the year in the SEC championship game, but that would probably be about it. I think they'll get by Florida and everyone else on their schedule. So we could see a changing of the guard by the end of the first weekend of the regular season.
What do you think, Heather?
I'll pile on Paul's Clemson doubt, but I'll tell you more reasons. One is because I'm not convinced that their offensive line is going to be as good this year. They've got questions at wide receiver, even if Justin Ross is cleared to come back. And who is behind their new quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei? I don't think Dabo Swinney even knows that. So God forbid he gets hurt. That is a huge question mark at quarterback in terms of depth at that position. But that Georgia game is the right place to start in that conversation.
Now, the college football playoff basically starts week one. Having said that, we know that we are now moving towards, I shouldn't say we know, we believe we are probably moving towards a complete revamping of the college football system. And Heather Dinnett, you have been all over that story for us for the past week. Paul, as you've had some time to digest it and talk to all of your callers and get all of their perspective, where do you stand right now?
I think it's fabulous, Greeny. And you know me. I mean, the odds of me being positive on something are about the same as Halley's Comet coming around, which is about every 77 years. But I think it is brilliantly laid out. I do have a concern, though. As Heather will see this weekend in Chicago, they'll announce 12, and they'll ultimately get to 12 being the number because it fits the most important people in the game. But when will this thing go into effect? Bill Hancock has said it won't happen at least until two more seasons. But I've talked to people inside the bubble, and they're not positive. They cannot guarantee it will happen then because there are so many contracts to unwind.
Well, yeah, Heather, you will be there in Chicago covering that. What do we know about that so far?
Paul's absolutely right. There are people in that room who think it can happen before the contract expires, and there are also people in the room who are highly doubtful of that and need to be shown some evidence that it's possible. When they go in that meeting on Thursday and Friday to discuss this in person for the first time, I would be surprised if they walk out not agreeing on 12. But that being said, there are a lot of details that they have to hash out. Do they all agree on the fact that the first four seeds will not have a home game? Do they agree that those first round games will be at home for on-campus sites for the other ones and how the bowls work in? Major questions. But once they agree on that, they have to convince the university presidents next week in Dallas.
We will see. Again, Heather will be live with us tomorrow morning from Chicago with the very latest on these sweeping changes coming to college football. But to your point, the question is when. Guys, outstanding. We love our Wednesdays with Heather and Paul. Meanwhile, let me get up and go here with some other sports news. In the first press conference for their much-anticipated third fight, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury had quite a stare down. The two were locked in on each other just like that for more than 5 minutes. One of the longest in recent memory. Their fight will take place July 24th in Las Vegas. It just went like that for 5 minutes. Meanwhile, how about this? Stanley Cup semis. Lightning beat the Islanders 4-2 last night. Game two of their best of seven, evening up that series at a game apiece. Game three will take place tomorrow night in New York. And then finally, another day and another record for Cristiano Ronaldo. The Portugal forward scored two goals in a 3-0 Euro 2020 win against Hungary. He extended his remarkable run of scoring in 11 consecutive international tournaments going back to Euro 2004. He is the best in the biz. And coming up this morning at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN, coverage of the second match of our Euro triple header, Turkey taking on Wales at noon. Then Italy squares off against Switzerland. All Euro matches can be seen live or later on the ESPN app. As we continue, Magic Johnson called it a Mount Rushmore performance. Did one night in Brooklyn silence all the critics? We'll answer that question and more. Top of the hour. Get up. We're on ESPN2.